peace be on their Love honorable Radio. And noble. Oh, I'm sorry. Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. You are listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, and we are momentarily awaiting the appearance of Imam Dr. Akbar of the Masjid Ali K. Muslim, 257 South Orange Avenue in the city of Newark, New Jersey. So as soon as he is here with us, we will certainly introduce him to you. Meanwhile, you can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. I'm your host, Imam Alfred. We had a phenomenal day yesterday with Religion Means Alive. I was joined by Imam Elam Muhammad of the Mosque Cares, assistant to President Wallace D. Muhammad. And we also was joined by a wonderful speaker, with our featured speaker, Imam Askia Muhammad, the son of the great Rupert, the former chief investigator of New York City. So we're excited. We're looking forward to your calls and your contributions to the program tonight. So, dear beloved people, sit back. As my assistant Earl Siddiqui said, lean back, but lean forward. So we look forward to your conversation. Imam Akbar Muhammad will be speaking of his experience as a businessman, and also will be speaking as his role as the Imam of the Masjid. If you all could give me 1 second off the air while I take care of something technical. We're back again with Religion Means Alive. We're supposed to have our guest, Dr. Akbar Muhammad from Masjid Muhammad. We're waiting for him to call. Yes. One thing about these programs, they have to go on. And we'll wait. So, meanwhile, while we wait for Dr. Akbar to come, or whether he's coming, I don't know what is happening, emergency or something. We're waiting to hear from him. You can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. Now, some very interesting things happening. The Savior's Day is coming up, February the 23rd, will be held at the Marriott Hotel, the Midway Marriott Hotel in Cicero, Illinois, and also Jumma will be Friday. That Friday, will be conducted at the Mosque Cares building, and the featured speaker will be Imam Kareem Muhammad, a Masjid Hawk. This is an open forum. Anybody like to make comments, press 1 on the phone. Call us at 805-727-7013. 805-727-7013. Religion means alive. We recently just had, I believe, another killing in Chicago, or maybe two or three blocks. Two or three blocks away from
talk on the program tonight. Come on.
We recently had a killing. I'm sorry, we had a technical problem. We recently had another killing in Chicago. A child that was a friend of Hadia's was killed a couple of days ago, I think maybe 2 days ago. And it's interesting because there wasn't a moratorium or no one stopped the killing. You would think that people would have stopped it for a couple of months, at least gave it some time before they killed someone else. But they kept going on with the killing even after the visit with Michelle Obama, even after the visit with I think President Barack Obama. I think he came. I think he was at in Chicago last Friday or is coming this Friday. The point is that
727.
Is that it just didn't matter, you know? People just are going to kill one another until something, until the Muslims get out there. That's just the truth about it. So until we organize, and until African Americans, Muslims, Christians, Jews, until we all come together and do something in Chicago, it'll keep going on. And remember, these are our kids that are killing each other. These are our children. And so, I mean, I always say that if these are our kids killing one another, then we know who they are. This is somebody's child that just killed this child. And so, I mean, if we have to first stand as upright people and turn out. I mean, if our children are doing this, we have to turn our children in. We have to stop this some kind of way because we know that it's happening right in our neighborhoods. We know that our children are doing these things, and we have to take responsibility for what we are doing, what is going on in our neighborhoods, what's going on in our homes. And so that's my comment on it. I mean, and if you have a comment, please call in. We're having Imam Akbar Muhammad from Masjid Ali K. Muslim, formerly known as Masjid Muhammad, formerly known as Number 25 in Newark, New Jersey. And so we're looking forward to his call. But until you, if you would like to make a comment on what's going on with our young brothers and sisters, our grandchildren, and we'd like to hear what you have to say about what's going on with our grandchildren in these different cities. Okay, so without further ado, Imam Alfred Muhammad, your host.
Thank you, Sister Fatima Muhammad, who's done a marvelous job of hosting while we were arranging overcoming technical difficulties. I see our beloved Imam Dr. Akbar Muhammad, Masjid Ali K, in the great city of Newark, New Jersey, is on the line. Welcome, Brother Imam Dr. Akbar, to Religion Means Alive.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on the show. And I would like to thank you for inviting me on the show and interviewing our situation. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Brother Imam, would you like to open with an opening statement? Generally, when we ask people to come on the program, we like them to first share what they would like to share with us.
Yes, I would. That would be very enlightening. Yes, sir. My comments would be that we're making progress, and we are in the process of building. We built the masjid, and we are in the process now of completing it, and we are at our last phase. And as the elevator is got to be established, and it's three floors, and it's going to be a musalla, a prayer area, and the second floor is going to be Clyde Muhammad School, secondary and elementary school, and we have a daycare center, and we named the daycare center after Sister Makaya. Shereem, she presently was the principal, and she has expired, and her works is still going on. So we're going to name the school after the daycare center after Umakai Sharif, and the library is going to be named after Umakai Sharif. So that's something enlightening for our situation, and we want to say in this month right here, African American History Month, we want to celebrate all our African American heroes. And we want to thank you for inviting us to this show. And we want to come on the air many more times after this engagement here. Thank you very much.
We certainly thank you, Brother Imam, and you have an open mic. You are there very, 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 very few imams, if any, we have had on the program. And the reason being is we're looking for people who are not talkers. We're a race of talkers. We need a race of workers. And you have certainly exhibited as a successful businessman in your own right and as a builder. See, words can mean, they don't mean very much, but words do make people. So if it's meaningless words, it is meaninglessly people. People are meaningless. But we see a building, and the Prophet Muhammad told us that al-Islam is built on fire. Buni,
yes, sir.
We have to build things. So you have built have a building. You've erased the debt. You have paid off that debt. You've started construction and completed it. They said African Americans is a race of starters, but not a race of finishers. So you have joined the column of a finisher. And I understand you didn't get any money from Saudi Arabia, India, or Pakistan. You trusted in your leader and teachers, believe. Both leaders and teachers, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Deputy Muhammad, who both believed in self-help. Tell us how the philosophy of self-help inspired you to build brick by brick, concrete by concrete, without government loans, not without even bank loans, the school and masjid complex, and also tell us of your plans to demolish the current the building that we used to use as Masjid Muhammad, Muhammad's Temple number 25. You're now planning to build a shopping center there. So just tell us about how this philosophy of self-help has helped you and inspired you and your wonderful congregation to move forward.
Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you very much. I would like to say that, you know, it's an honor and privilege and a pleasure for you to invite me on the show, you and your family and everything, and for you to take us in regards. And I like your comments when you said that you wanted to have imams come on the show, and you want to have people come on the show that wants to be starters and wants to be some that finish their project. And when we came into office behind Imam Ali Muslim, our late leader, and to come out of the Nation of Islam with Dr. Elijah Muhammad and to be with Imam Wasiuddin Muhammad and to be with him when he was president too. And like our holy book in the Quran, it says that the leaders never die and no one never dies. Everybody is with Allah and the spirit still lives on. And when we came into office, what we did was we was in a little bit of debt, and then that didn't tarnish our situation to give up and quit. We just got stronger. We didn't die. We multiplied, and we got with the believers here. And this is a historical site right here, whereas when I say it's a historical site, meaning that the whole earth is historical, and the whole earth is something that we have to really, like, embark upon, because Allah said that he blessed us to be here on the earth, and he created us to till the land, and that's what we went forward to do. And when Imam Ali had passed, and he passed the torch on to us, and Imam Wahidin Muhammad came in, and he encouraged us to go forward. And Imam Ali, he would bring in Imam Wahidin Muhammad, and he was centered in this locale, and we would help him to do whatever he had to do. So we went to work, and we got busy, and we just went on and cleared all the debt up. They had a lien on all the properties and everything, so we just went to work and got with the believers, and, you know, just like you said, we went on and took care of the debt, and then we just got back with the believers on the second round. And then once we cleared that debt up, then I asked the believers what was the next step, and they said we got to build. And I said, I'm in agreement with it, and that's what I liked about what you said when the prophet of the prayer of the peace and the blessings of the upon him, he said that Islam is built on fire. So we went to work and started building on our five principles, and that's what carried us through. And Allah always want to see if we're going to be left alone or just saying we believe and not be tested. So he tested us, and he tested our strength, and we came through and pulled through, and all the believers, they were with us. And I would just like to say, too, that this is what we need to be encouraged by. And then once we start seeing that we can do it, then it trickles down to the youth. Because I was listening to Fatima when she was talking earlier, when she was talking about the youth, and that's what we did in the first experience. In the first experience, what we did was we got with the whole family, and everybody would sit at the table, and everybody would go to work, and Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said that we should do something for ourselves. And then the Imam, he came in, and he said that we should be people that can't stop, and we must keep going, and he just kept forwarded the situation, and he didn't stop either, and he carried on the legacy from his father, and he carried the legacy on from the Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all of the peace and the blessings be upon all of the brothers. And that's what we were looking forward to. We were looking forward to the Imam. He said, we can't stop now. We must keep going. And this is our time. And he said, goodness is on the rise. And I understand it real good right now. And I would like to say that we are a people that God says in the Quran that we are the best people raised up for humanity. And we should lead by example. All we have to do is just get with our people and start working with our people and see how we can make this situation a better situation. Because God says that he brought us out of poverty and brought us out of ignorance and brought us out of captivity and bondage. Brought us all out of that and made us successful people. And our holy book, it says that we are successful if we believe in God, and truly we believe in God. And this is the first house that was built from the ground up, and it's established on the oneness of Allah and the love and the regardfulness for God. So we want everybody to come in and get their blessings and share in this endeavor, and to really be in paradise. Because I heard our late leader, Imam Wahidin Muhammad, he said that. And they would ask him, what's your status? He said, I'm in paradise. And we always would say that, too. And Umbakai, our great principal and great sister, and she was instrumental in always saying that, too. And I said myself, too. And it's a pleasure to just be one who can really, be a trailblazer and take it forward and go forward and present this situation to our people and just don't quit at no cost at all. We just can't quit. We can't stop now. We can't quit now. We got to keep on going. We won't stop. And, you know, it's a pleasure just for y'all to, bring me on the air and have this conversation and you know, to enlighten our situation and to show our youth how we can really do it. Because I'm a youthful person. You know, I'm up in my 60s, but, you know, I feel like I'm 25 years old.
You know
old
what? I was getting ready to ask you for your ID. I said, I thought you were about 18 years old. So what the? You got this young whippersnapper coming on our program. We got to see his ID, you know? You can't tell me. Ain't no way in the world you can be 60. I'm pretty smooth. I can't believe that. Let me ask you, dear brother Imam.
Yes, sir.
Dear Imam Doctor.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Your plans is to build a shopping center. I had one of your great followers, Dr. Tony Elamine, to be on the program, and he wants to open up a medical center. Is that also a
right.
part of the plan?
Right. Yeah. What I'm trying to do, too, we're trying to build a medical center, and we're trying to, like you said earlier, we're trying to, after we do the last year, get that completed. We want to build a strip mall and the medical center, and we want to rally the believers to they was very instrumental in guiding me and to show me a few things about how to construct. And the great builder I need, he is one of the GCs. He's the general contractor that really, like, you know, is a part of this and helping us to rally the believers. And they had confidence in me to the point where the Dr. Tony Elamine, Osman Sharif, Wally Muslim, Bassem Bradley, and Bassem Sharia, and all of them. And everybody, Mateen Akbar, and yourself and your family and all the imams, and everybody wanted to see this happen because, you know, this is like you said, from Temple number 25 to Masjid Muhammad and then Masjid Imam Ali Muslim, everybody was looking forward to, you know, this day right here to see how we can put this thing together and try to, you know, take it forward and take it to another level. So all the believers, we all got together. And one thing I didn't do is that when somebody came in with a good idea, we tried to see how we could implement it and try to bring it into focus and everything. So that was
my... So, Brother Imam, what we know about you is that you rule by Shura Bainahum. You rule by consulting with the best minds, the great Edward Wadu, the great, all your great staff. I single him out because I think he's probably the most senior and a leader.
Yeah.
If he's listening, he's a leader that's been a leader among us. He's a second generation member of the Nation of Islam. He grew up in the Nation of Islam.
His mother
was part of Temple number 5. You know, people always talk about Minister Malcolm starting all the temples. Temple number 5 was started by the early believers, the Honorable Muhammad. And so you have him and many others who've been with us since the 1950s. Now, I understand, Brother Imam, that you are also a businessman. You're not like some preachers, they just sit around and wait for the flock to feed them. You have a business. Tell us about your business experience.
Well, my business experience, it came from in the Nation of Islam when Abu Ali Muhammad had said, do something for ourselves. And when I was connected with certain people, and we was especially with Imam Ali Muslim. So back in 1975, that's when I met Imam Ali Muslim. We was incarcerated. We graduated from Caldwell Institution. We graduated with honors. We graduated with a PhD. And then we went on further and came out and started helping Imam Hussein. And then that's when the transitional situation came about from 1975 when Imam Wahid bin Muhammad came in and Honorable Elijah Muhammad had passed and passed the baton to his son. So with our business venture, what it was when Honorable Elijah Muhammad, even when he was saying do something for yourself, what we did was that's when everything was flourishing. And even then, during that time, because I know in 1932, that's when they had the depression, and even then, that's when Ahmad Elijah Muhammad came in. When the Farah came in and spoke to Ahmad Elijah Muhammad, and then that's when July the 4th, that's when the Nation of Islam started taking off, then that's when we started growing and everything started flourishing. And then what we did was we got together with everybody, and then that's when YDHG came out. So it started flourishing, bean pies, bean soup, salon restaurants. So everything started flourishing. So most of the majority of the people picked up from that, and they took it and took it to another level. And we started growing, and we started sharing with each other. So that's what we got to do for the present time right now. For the future, if we start sharing with each other and don't let the devil get involved with our situation and keep the devil out, like you were saying about Monsieur Bainahu. Monsieur Bainahu is when we all get together and we sit down and we start helping each other and we start putting the best on our ideas, and let's see how we can make that flourish. And that's when the Imam came in and told us about Monsieur Bainahu and told us that we should get together with the same type of minds, the same like, and that's going to make our situations grow. That was a very good question about the business situation. And if we keep doing it like that, we can't lose with the stuff we use, you know.
Yeah. No way you can lose. When you got the right stuff, you're going to be successful. Give it up, people. You can join the conversation we have with us, our honored guest, Imam Dr. Akbar Muhammad of the Masjid Ali K. They're in Ali K. Muslim in the great city of Newark, New Jersey. He's up from the bricks, and he's building the city of Newark back brick by brick, step by step. Now, Brother Imam, tell us about why you think it's so necessary to start a school or to reopen the school.
Well, I think it's necessary because we have to really, go at the school situation, because our leader and teacher, both of them, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the prayers, the peace, and the blessings be upon him, he said, nothing is more important than the brain, and nothing is more important than education. And both of our leaders, they said that we have to educate our own. If we start educating our own, then we can't lose with our situation, because everything starts right at home. And then that's when Abdullah Muhammad and Clara Muhammad, they started studying, started in the house with those two people right there. So that's where it started at with us. And I'd like to say that it's an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to come behind that situation and educate our own. Because you know it for yourself, if you educate your own children, you know that's how we can grow better. You follow me?
That's right. Yes, sir. I think if any of you all have background, I think that's fine. Have the same line, and I hope the believers over at Vested, Ali K. Ali, ma'am, I think we have some background. Can you clear that up, because we're on the air and coming off.
What I'm going to do is I'm gonna shift it to another line.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. Give it up, people. You can follow us on Religion Means Alive by dialing 805-727-7013. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, and you can send your donation to Imam Alfred, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07066. We appreciate your donations. It is necessary to stay on the air. Blog Talk Radio is not free. Nothing is free. So obviously, being on this broadcast is not free. We also have travel expense. We travel to Chicago to be with our leader and teacher. It's our leader and teacher. Yes, we have a leader and teacher, a living one, in the person of Imam Wahbuddin Muhammad II, a people that refuses to have a leader, already has a leader. They have Satan for a leader. And we have a lot of people running around today telling us that we don't need a leader. Meanwhile, they're peddling our tapes, they're peddling our pamphlets, and they're trying to operate as a leader. But what we need in the community of Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad, we need to keep the structures that Imam Muhammad has left. If Imam Muhammad, you say you followed Imam Muhammad, take out the envy, take out the jealousy, take out the disrespect to your own. Imam Muhammad put President Wallace D. Muhammad II, Waris Dean Muhammad II, over Mosque Head before he passed. That's the clearest indication to me that Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad left as a leader. Just as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did, and is rapidly becoming clear and clear by consensus in this community, that, and certainly by people in the government, that President Waris Dean Muhammad II represents this community and will continue to represent it, and I will continue to support him. And we would never want to be a point, not one minute, without having a leader. If two of you are together, choose a leader. If you go out on the street, teaching team, get a leader. If you're painting a wall, get a leader. Certainly in your homes, have a leader. Anarchism is the work of the Satan. The reason the Satan doesn't want you to have a leader, because he wants to provide you leaders. And I'm not talking about Satan as some spirit, some spook. He looks like you, but he's not you. Now, secondly, they had on television yesterday, Dr. Khalil Gibran Muhammad, the grandson of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, great-grandson of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the son of Ozir Muhammad, and the grandson of Minister Nathaniel Muhammad, also known as Musalli Muhammad. Well, this young man, very wise, historian, scholar in his own right, was on MSNBC radio with Melissa Perry Harris, I believe, Melissa Harris Perry, whatever her name is. But he unleashed a volley of complaints against the President of the United States. And he said that the President of the United States was engaging in dirty politics. He comes and he spanks us, but he doesn't attack the big corporations. My poor brother, Dr. Khalil Gibran Muhammad, Ozir's son, and one of my favorite young men, unlike some of you, I don't sit and just talk about him from afar. I've actually spent hours with him. But if you're listening, he's one of my Facebook friends, and I'm going to tell you what I told him. I said, what you call dirty politics, telling our young men to clean up, pull their pants up, stop shooting each other, take care of our babies, and take care of our responsibilities. It's not dirty politics. It's the same kind of thinking that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, your great-grandfather, taught. It is the same thinking that your grandfather, Minister Nathaniel Muhammad, taught. And it was the environment that you grew up in, because your daddy, Ozir Muhammad, got his first job working at the Muhammad Speaks newspaper prior to going to Newsday, prior to going to the New York Times. He got an opportunity because believers put their dimes, their nickels, and their pennies together. And they didn't decide to go and use it to drive a bus down to Washington to protest what the white man was not doing for them. They pooled our dimes, nickels, and pennies together and said, we are going to get up and do something for self. And just as they did at Masjid Muhammad, they put their dimes, their nickels, their pennies, their quarters, their dollars, their $10, and they kept on doing it week after week, day after day. And next thing, concrete poured, was poured. Next thing, steel beams was put together. Next thing, floors rose. And they have a building called Masjid Ali K. Muhammad. And I am convinced that Imam Dr. Akbar Muhammad, who earned his doctorate, in my opinion, by building and not talking. He didn't recite 1,000 Quranic surahs. He didn't recite 10,000 pages of dissertation. He didn't recite 15,000 plethoras of complaints and beg-upons and kick-upons, begging the white man to get up and do for him that which he could do for himself. That's what if any of you run across Brother Dr. Khalil Gibran Muhammad, you tell him. He refers to me as his uncle, one of his uncles. Well, his uncle is telling his son, his nephew, to come see him so he can reacquaint him with the program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we wanted freedom, justice, and equality. And Ahmadinejad Muhammad did not believe that the white man could give us freedom, justice, and equality. The Ahmadinejad Muhammad believed, knew, and acted upon the premise that we had to capture freedom, justice, and equality for ourselves. And so I'm convinced, along with millions of others, that this 2.5 million following and this 40 million race that earns approximately $1.1 trillion, repeat, $1.1 trillion. Do you realize that we've got 2% of the household goods, bleach, dishwashing detergent, washing powder? 2% of that is $2 billion. How many jobs could we create? How many of our Harvard employed lawyers, Harvard trained lawyers, I should say, can be pulled off the unemployment ranks? How many MBAs from Harvard and Yale can be pulled off the unemployment ranks? How many 2 Chainz and others who have to hustle out people with poisonous lyrics? Lil Wayne, that should be ashamed of himself. That should be spanked. He's on radio, has the audacity to be making fun of Emmett Till. Face all inked up with paint. And we could give him a decent job, perhaps lifting bags or something, and give him a decent salary so he won't have to hustle himself to put down his people. Do you know, dear people, we are the only people on the face of the planet Earth that would allow people to make fun of our heroes? We are the only people on Earth that will allow our sacred icon, Emmett Till, was killed for you little spanking little Wayne. He died so your little stinky behind could walk the streets. Huh? You have the dancers, the boondocks, and other ones, you ignorant Negroes, to allow yourself to be used to put your people down. You are the 21st century Uncle Toms, and your days are rapidly coming to an end. We will picket your little behind. We will send boycotts until you repent and come off the stage of foolishness and step up on the stage pushing dignity. That's what we say to you, Lil Wayne. That's what we say to you, Mr. Pusha T. That's what we say to you, all the rest of you who decide that you are going to degrade your people's history rather than representing what Almighty God has given us as a people. But the days of indecency, the days of broadcasting immorality, the days of putting our people down and making us a laughing stock of the world is rapidly becoming, is rapidly coming to an end. We are joined by people like Imam Dr. Akbar Muhammad and this marvelous congregation that will, in fact, work along with us to turn Brick City into a heaven on earth, to a paradise on earth. And we will no longer tolerate the Lil Wayne's disrespecting our people. We will no longer tolerate people making fun of Murray McLeod Bethune, Dr. Martin Luther King, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We're in a new day, and we have been reconnected to the spirit, the mind, the will, and determination of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, as he is represented so ably by our beloved Imam of Masjid Ali K. Muslim, 257 South Orange Avenue, Imam Dr. Akbar Muhammad. Welcome back to Religion Means Alive. Yes, sir, Brother Imam. Welcome back, Brother Imam.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on the air, Brother Imam.
No, this is Brother Tahaka Amana L. Bay. Area code 904.
Oh, 904. Yes, sir. Well, brother, I thought you were the brother. Okay. Well, my dear brother, where are you from?
I'm from Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, welcome, brother. Your own religion means alive.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at your picture, and I'm listening to what you're saying, and you remind me so much of my grandfather.
Well, thank you. Your grandfather is represented so ably by you.
Well, I'm just like him. He was one of the most notorious men in our area. He only feared one man, and that was my great-great-grandfather, Brahmo.
Yes, sir.
But he had a philosophy that it took me a long time to understand. And he hauled moonshine for a living. And I couldn't understand for a long time why he would take moonshine out of the house in broad open daylight and open up the trunk and put it in there when he had police down the street at one end to the left, police to the street at one end to the right, and shut the trunk. And I asked him, I said, Granddad, why you wait till 12 o'clock in the daytime where everybody can see you taking it out? He said, well, boy, when you know somebody watching you, the least you can do is give them something to see. Come on in here and help me get
yes,
the rest
sir.
Of this stuff out here.
Yeah, you're right.
And he come out of the house with two double-barrel shotguns and a .44. And he would tell me to put the shells and bullets on the seat. Don't put them on the floorboard. Put them on the seat. And he'd back out and head straight for the police and go do his business. But no man would stop him. And I asked my mama, I said, well, how could a man like my granddaddy have fear of any man? She said, because your great-great-grandfather was worse than him. He said, when a man came to see us, and he said, we had, your great-grandfather had 13 daughters and 9 sons. But you want to see one of them girls, you had to stop at the gate and holler up there. And he coming out for one thing, to shake your hand. And if your hand ain't got no calluses in it, he going back to get his shotgun because that means that you weak man and you're not fit for his daughters. And before he get to the house, grandmama will holler out there and tell him, boy, get to running because he getting that shotgun because you
right.
ain't fit. So,
I like that spirit.
He stole my grandmama for my great-great-granddaddy. My granddad stole my grandmama for my great-great-granddaddy and brought her down here, and my great-granddaddy chased him through 3 states and caught him. And then when he told him he had that double barrel shotgun, he tried to separate him with one hand and hold that shotgun, but they held on to one another because she was pregnant.
Yes,
and,
sir.
They sat there in the hot sun all the way to the sun went down, but they held on to one another and wouldn't turn one another loose until he got tired and he got up and he walked back up in the woods and headed back where he came from. She had my mama, and my mama had me. And when my great-granddaddy got on his deathbed, my granddaddy came and see me. He said, boy, he said, you took my baby. He said, I know it. He said, you know, if I had a caught you, I'd have killed you. He said, I know you would have. He said, out of all my son-in-law, you end up being the best one. You took care of my baby, but you know, if I had a caught you, I'd have killed you. He said, I know you would have. He said, I'm going to take care of your baby. But that's all I want to say, and I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you.
Continue to listen, dear brother. What city are you from again?
I'm from Jacksonville, Florida.
And how did you hear about this program?
Well, I host my own radio show on Blog Talk Radio, and during the daytime, every once in a while when I get some time, I go through the daytime, and it just so happened that I come across you, and I'm looking at your picture, and you remind me, based on what I'm seeing, of the baddest man that I ever seen that I knew who lived on the face of this earth.
Well, and you know what I'm going to tell you, brother. With your grandfather's spirit and your great-grandfather's spirit, we're going to march 2,000 by 3,000 miles America, and we're going to clean this wilderness up. And the Lil Waynes and others going to come back and be tame Waynes, and they're going to be decent little young men like their mama and their great-grandmama and their mammy's mammy raised them to be upright citizens working to establish peace on the earth, to build businesses for themselves, to build a decent culture. Otherwise, we may have to get the shotgun that your great-great-grandfather had, and they're going to have to hold on to each other in order not to be brought apart. We thank you so much, and you keep listening and tell everybody down there in Jacksonville that we are on the air, and I'm going to call you after the broadcast, and we're going to get acquainted even more.
Thank you. All right, will you? I'll be looking for your call.
Thank you, sir.
All right, brother. Peace.
Thank you. Peace be on our honorable listening audience. We have with us guests, time for calls. You can call this number, 805-727-7013. And, I'm your host, Imam Alfred Muhammad. You keep listening. Tell everybody down there in Jacksonville. Yes, dear people. So, we want you to know that we're going to continue. Now, this brother just called us. He just happened to be dialing, flipping numbers and faces on Facebook. He ran across our number, and he decided to call in. And we thank God for him. And there are others out here just like that. That's why we're going to keep this program on the air. That's why you have been donating to us. We appreciate it. Man, just show us that you appreciate it. Send us $5. Send us $10. We had somebody this is one day sent us $2. And we appreciate that $2 just like it was $2 million.
That's right.
I wrote us a check for $2.05. Powerful. Thank you. And that's all it takes. Goodness is on the rise. My wife just told me about an African-American homeless man. Homeless. He asked the lady for some money. The lady gave him money. How much did she give him, baby?
She had given him
some change. But in the process of giving him change, she left her ring with him by mistake.
Billy Ray Harris.
God bless you, Billy Ray Harris. Your human dignity is intact. When the woman came back, she'd wonder what had happened to her gold wedding band. But when she went back to Billy Ray hers, Billy Ray told the lady, I was expecting you to come back, and gave her a ring. The lady was absolutely flabbergasted, I believe they call the word, flabbergasted, astonished, amazed by this great human being, Billy Ray Thomas, Billy Ray Harris. She started a campaign for Billy Ray Harris. This morning, around 10 o'clock, Billy Ray Harris had $4,000. My wife decided that $4,000 was not enough for Billy Ray Harris. And she wrote Billy Ray Harris a donation. She said, Sugar Pie, I just want to show you what goodness is on the rise. That what our leader and teaching, Ma'am W. Dean Muhammad, has told us. We went back at 5 o'clock. Billy Ray Harris had $10,000. Mostly from $10. Dear beloved people, shouldn't that tell us something? Send your donation to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Send $5, $10, whatever, so we can expand this program, so we can go on other radio stations, so we can even go on television. See, we're not gearing this program to reach Muslims. We're not here to just reach and to masturbate with Muslims. We're here to make babies, intellectual, business babies, cultural babies, educational babies. See, when you masturbate, all you're doing is you're just pleasuring yourself. You get excited to stroke yourself. Oh, look at me, how wise I am. I busted three atoms. Oh, look how wise I am. I made that brother look like a fool because I put Babby Boo on him. I told him about something happened three eons together. I messed 10 elements together. But when you share it with people that don't know, when you share it with people whose spirit akin to yours, like this dear brother that's on the radio. I didn't pay him to come. I don't know him. He just happened to be flipping through Blog Talk Radio. And he flipped through Blog Talk Radio, and he saw Religion Means Alive, and he heard my voice. And there we had a man who just was touched by our determination. Now, my determination doesn't come from myself. It came from Almighty, comes from Almighty God through Imam W. Dean Muhammad, who got it from Almighty God, but was influenced by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, by Benjamin Elijah Mays, by Booker T. Washington, and the dynamic African-American soul. In fact, unless Khalil Gibran Muhammad, doctor that he is, the head of the Schoenberg Museum and Library, we don't believe that the academic world is sufficiently qualified or bona fide or certified to free our people. We believe that they are certified, bona fide, and qualified to beg and to point out problems. But they cannot tell the people what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with a third grade education told him. Get up and do something for self. Get up and stop complaining and begging at the rich man's gate. Stop begging and pleading. Harvard, Yale, all you, give me a job. Make your own institutions. Build your own private school system. Build your own K-12 system. And you will create tens and thousands, hundreds of thousands of jobs that you put your PhD people to work. You put your people with master's degrees to work. You put your people with bachelor's degrees to work. Running your own colleges, your own universities, your own prep schools. Huh? Isn't that wonderful? Then you will build your own marks, as Brother Imam Dr. Akbar Muhammad is doing. Huh? You have your own stores. You can compete against jail marks, this mark and other marks. You own your own businesses. Your men get together and they nail and hammer and dig and build just like the bee does. They construct their own factories. They construct their own dairies. They construct their own shopping centers. They construct their own hotels. And when the place start making a profit, you reach in and get your profit. Brothers and sisters, we have a strategy to empower our people. This is not a talk-a-thon. This is not a lotto shop where you're guessing, where you're putting a penny on and expect to get $10 million. No, we're talking about a hard-fought strategic plan with the proper tactics to deliver our people to the economic, to the academic, to the cultural, to the governmental promised land. That's right. We can build our own factories and manufacture goods. We can go to the south land and produce our own food products, our own clothing products. We can go to the wilderness and catch the crocodiles and alligators and make our own alligator shoes if that's what you want. We don't have to beg anybody else to do it for us. We can make our own shirts, our own suits, and supply ourselves and have enough left over to supply suits to other people. We will be able to take our women off welfare. We'll be able to take our people out of the dependent lines. That's what Honorable Elijah Muhammad put in us. That's what Imam Muhammad continued. And in 1979, he announced, we're reentering the economic programs of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We haven't given up hope. We haven't given up plans. And I spent 5 hours with the president of Mosque Cares, not talking about bean pies, not complaining, not idolizing, but spent time talking about how we're going to wake up this sleeping giant, how we're going to turn this giant's engines on, how we're going to go out on the streets and avenge Hadea's death. How you pronounce it, sugar?
Hadea,
see? That's why you need to consult with people. Hadea. Hadea's death. How are we going to avenge that? We're going to avenge it because we're going to turn our schools into learning centers. We're going to turn our people on to Booker T. Washington and let them know that he walked 800 miles from Harpers Ferry, West Virginia, to Hampton, only to be told by General Armstrong that he had to get down on his hands and knees and clean up the classroom. And if any dust was on that classroom, Booker T. Washington would have to walk back again. We have to tell our people that Frederick Douglass had to reach in the garbage can to get textbooks. And when we imbue in our young people the idea about education is sacred, we will begin to cut down, if not eliminate, the dropout rate. We are on the cusp, the precipice of one of the greatest educational industrial revolutions known to man. And you, the committed witness, will have the power in your mind, in your body, and in your spirit to be a part of this revolution, to see a people who have been taken from our homeland, destroyed, tongue cut out for speaking another language, their wives degraded in front of them, their children raped in front of them, their grandparents molested in front of them. This is the history of African Americans. Every shameful degradation, their own son molested by overseers in front of them. And yet, they're maintained by humanity, by human spirit, by fitra. Fitra means in Arabic the nature which God originated, but from the word fitir, from that which he originated. Its original nature has been put into a monster chamber. Chattel slavery in America was and is monster chambers. And the demented young men and women walking down our streets who have decided to be bigger Thomas. For those who have not read the great novel of Richard Nathaniel Wright, Native Son, there was a character in there by the name of Bigger Thomas. A nice lady came to help Bigger Thomas out. Bigger killed her and put her in an oven. The demented criminal that break into our homes, that steal, that goes to McDonald's and take 10 bottles of ketchup packets as opposed to 2 and drive the prices up. The steals on his job, that throws toilet paper in the bathrooms, has picked up the Bigger Thomas syndrome. That's what Richard Wright was saying in that novel. That Bigger was a Bigger Tom. He was really a Tom. The young rebel walking the street thinking that he's keeping it real, that he's pimping holes, as he would say, that he's beating up on the little old ladies and robbing folk, is a Bigger Thomas. He is a Big Tom. The so-called lumpen proletariat that is a parasite in his neighbors and his communities is a Bigger Thomas. But Almighty God, in his infinite wisdom, in his infinite mercy, in his everlasting understanding and compassion for human beings, has caused us to see and to understand that through Imam W. Dean Muhammad, the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that if we call people back to their humanity, and allow them to know that God is greater than Bigger Thomas. And if we understand that we can even take people like Minister Malcolm Little, and make him big. Isn't that something? That's a sign. His name was Malcolm Little. And if he stayed Malcolm Little, he would just been a little Malcolm. Nobody would have known about him. But he repented and met a word from his Lord. Powerful sign. Met a word from his Lord through the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he was turned on to his humanity. And by being turned on to his humanity, he turned Bigger Thomas off. See, Bigger would have gotten a knife. He would have pimped the woman. He would have broken into her home. He would have gone to the McDonald's and stole. And why am I addressing this? Because I was listening yesterday to a tape of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Those who know Minister Farrakhan and see him, please, please give him a copy of the 1974 Savior's Day address by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Tell Brother Minister to listen again to that tape. Perhaps he was screaming too loud and bearing too much witness when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was speaking instead of listening. Had he listened, perhaps he would have turned his people into new people, because Mr. Muhammad, if I'm right, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad nailed it when he said, stop making fun of the white man. Stop mocking him. He repeated this. Ask God to bless you so you can have your own land that you can call your own. So you, and God has blessed us to have this land that we can call our own. We can set up our home right here in America. There's nothing stopping us but going to the southern states and turning them into a paradise on earth. I guess our politics would turn then. We probably wouldn't be talking like we're talking now. We might be seeking a tax cut because our lands would be so prosperous. Dear beloved people, I just want you to know that this is not an idle conversation. We don't care about the opposition. God says to us in the Quran, the holy book of the Muslim, the believer has won through. So we know for a fact we are already a winner. Just the fact that you believe makes you a winner. But we are going to win as we have won on the All-Stars. Most of the people playing basketball is African Americans. Most of the people playing football is African Americans. Our numbers are down somewhat in baseball. Tiger roars again. It seems that the Tiger has gotten his tail back and he's clawing his way back to the top. It was wonderful to witness yesterday President Barack Obama playing with the Tiger, and soon the Tiger will growl again. But what am I really saying when I talk about Tiger Woods, when I talk about Michael Jordan, when I talk about all of these great players? They are a sign of us becoming realers. It's all right for play, but play is a sign of reality. We can win building steel factories. We can win building car factories. We can win building facilities where we can provide food for ourselves. We can win building our own clothing factories. We can win opening up our own grocery stores. We can win opening up our own janitor's block. We can win producing our own detergents. We can win producing our own bleach. We can win producing our own brooms. And dear beloved people, this is what we intend to do. We intend to get our market share back or in our hands. We've done it before. We've been the nation of Islam in a flash in the pan. We showed that we could bring tropical fruit from Honduras. We showed that we could bring fish from South America and distribute them in the homes. We're going to do it, and we're going to do it again. We are going to provide bread for our homes, milk for our homes, healthy foods and organic vegetables to our homes. From us, we're not satisfied to have the Palestinians, the Pakistanis, the Koreans, to feed African Americans. We're not satisfied to have the Germans and the Chinese to provide us with our own, with ovens. We're not satisfied to have our hair done by someone else. We will never be satisfied. We are going to get in the industrial business of life and win, because Almighty God tells us that we have already won, and we are proving it. Michael Jackson was legendary. He is, because his music still beams out across the globe. There's probably no place on earth that Michael Jackson is not played. That's probably no place on earth that James Brown is not played. That's probably no place on earth that Whitney Houston is not played. So God has sent us a resounding, powerful clarion call that we are the global people. But we have global responsibility. I was glad today to have Imam Dr. Akbar Muhammad on this program, because he showed his very testimony, his very presence, was in fact a testimony of what a few united, committed people can do under the flag of truth and justice and human responsibility. And in about 5 years, they have built a masjid, paid off the debt. They don't have a large number of people. They don't have a leader that has gotten a PhD from Harvard. He said that he was an honor graduate of Caldwell State Prison. So if we had a man that's an honor graduate of Caldwell State Prison, think about what if we have people who are honor graduates of institutions working together, what they can do. Powerful sign that God can take a common man and he can build an independent institution because he has faith in God, faith in his leader, and faith in his natural creative self. We got people with PhDs. I know a man right now with a BA, an MA, two MAs, and a law degree, and is unemployed. I know people that come in this country can't speak English, but a multimillionaire. Oh, the government gave them some money. That's why they successful. Shut up, you liar. You're envious. You're jealous. I mentioned to a well-known African-American journalist about a man being rich, and automatically the niggerism came in him, and he became instantly jealous. Where you get any money from? And he began to talk about the man's past in an ugly and vicious manner. And I said to myself, your slave master would be happy because you still got that mind. That's why I said slavery, child slavery in America was and is the most horrendous phenomena that has occurred on this earth. Because why is it was and is? For most of us, it was. It affected our grandparents and our parents. But it is in the subconscious, if not in the conscious behavior. Most of the African Americans that live in Chicago, the south side, west side of Chicago, even the north side of Chicago, are African Americans who are the descendants of slaves from Mississippi, Arkansas, two of the worst states in the history of humanity for the treatment of humanity. The Delta, the soil of Mississippi is soaked with the blood of Negroes. The scent of slaves running in the Tatchahatchee River. I get terrified even to think of it. Terrified to think of the Mississippi River where Max Parker's body was found. Where Emmett Till's body was there. Little Wayne, I hope you are listening. Those that know Little Wayne, and he's a little fella, little in mind, little in spirit, little in hope, and little in aspirations. Become at least Big Wayne. Have a big heart. Have a big spirit. Two chains, dear brother. Take them chains off you and become Talhid Epps. But back to the south side of Chicago. The African American that is there today is reliving on a daily basis, reenacting the psychiatrist. Called it a psychoanalyst study is psychiatric psychoanalysts would say that they're recreating, reenacting their experience. They're reenacting the terror as they look in an eye of someone that looks like them. They're reenacting the terror and the fear that's in our soul. When they look a Caucasian in the face, now they look in the eyes of their own people and they say, look at that man. This is our subconscious. He ain't nothing but a nigger. They chased us down for 400 years. Let me chase him down. He has not to be any good. And so, whether it be in a shopping center, whether it be on a close-up range, all I did was kill a nigga. After all, for 400 years, that's what they've been doing to us. So I have internalized it. Listen, Khalil Muhammad, Dr. Khalil Muhammad. Listen, Melissa Perry Harris. Harris Perry, Perry Harris. Listen. You all need psychotherapy. You're not getting to the core of the issues of our people. You are being paid to divert our people from getting healed. Because if our people were not diverted from getting healed, they would make a tender offer to buy Comcast, General Electric, and all the other companies that are employing you. They would create companies that would compete with Walmart and Costco's and other companies. But as long as the better minds are drunk on left-wing politics and impossibilities and are drunk on their own pain, they cannot take the psychological energy to construct a plan and suppress the impulsivity to destroy each other so we can build companies that can hire a Melissa Harris Perry and that she doesn't have to be on somebody else's payroll. You know, you listen to some of the TV shows, in the morning they are conservative. At night, they turn into nothing but left-wing shows, and they know African-Americans are up on Saturday morning, so they give you some African-American girl that preached to you all of the negative ideas about America. All they can tell you, they can tell you about where opportunities are in America. Why is it that everybody else can come to America and take advantage of it? Because we are still being reminded of Mississippi. When I was growing up, to mention to an African-American that he was from Mississippi was almost to invite a fight. Because an African-American saw Mississippi as the pit of hell. Arkansas, Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia. Those were states, the lowlands of South Carolina. Was lowlands. They say in some of those towns, don't have a nigger in this town at the dark. Now, don't think that the northern states didn't escape that kind of thinking, too. In places like Duluth, Minnesota, Goshen, Indiana, African-American men was chased down the streets and killed. In Iron Range, Minnesota, the land of progressivism and liberalism. So African-Americans, I myself, have been chased under bridges and had to run for my life in the northern cities. We know terror. We have to recognize terror. And that's why I've taken on the title of the DDS, to denigrify our people, to take out that being that they've put in us, that spook that they've put in us, that automatic reaction that they put in us as a people to respond negatively, to destroy each other, to kill and to maim each other, to criticize each other's business, to come and steal from each other, to engage in the bigger Thomasisms. Again, Richard Wright, Richard Nathaniel Wright, who himself is a case study in human improvement. Richard Wright, the son of Memphis, Tennessee, went as far as the fifth grade, I believe, in school, and self-educated himself to the point that he was sitting on the Seine River in Paris at, on the left bank discussing with Jean-Paul Sartre being and nothingness. Richard Nathaniel Wright, a man who could barely read and write, taught himself how to read and write, and spoke with erudition and wrote powerful novels and could hang with the best of intellectuals. He was not a fake. He was not a counterfeit. The motivation for his human dignity, for that super ego that was in him, drove Richard Nathaniel Wright to write. Drove Richard Nathaniel Wright to even leave the Communist Party because he saw that his human dignity was being challenged in the Communist Party that wanted to reduce him to nothing but a tool and a fool to carry on bad biddings, to use the African-American people as cannon fodder. And that's what people would like to do. They smile in our face. And meanwhile, they discourage. We don't need businesses. Oh, that old self-help stuff. You should be attacking the establishment. Meanwhile, they're working for the establishment. All the presidential make jobs. Meanwhile, they're working for the people who are destroying jobs. They're preaching. You can't get ahead in America. Meanwhile, they themselves have gotten credentials. And our children are getting credentials from the finest universities in America. One of the leading social critics' son is not only a medical doctor, he has an MPH, Masters of Public Health, from one of the finest universities in America. That if you got this highfalutin figure Thomas, you would have thought he was manufactured and rap land, speaking 300 miles a minute and monitoring 300 miles a second in an intelligible language. These type of gargantic wordsmiths place all the blame upon the system, but yet none of them are found in African-American colleges where two African-American students met death, one by homicide and one by suicide. Come on home, professors. Come on and help Ray Ray out and his evolutionary cousin. Dear beloved people, we thank you so much for your time and your attention. We thank our brother from Jacksonville, Florida, that call in so beautifully, and we will see you tomorrow on Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred. Until then, peace be on you. Oh, we still on. Let me close up.